الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. First one, very beautiful amal that we had learned from our Shaykh and which follows from this ayat and which is part of our subject today. That the Hazrat taught us, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, a person who reads حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم كفاه الله ما أهمه من أمر الدنيا والآخرة. A person who reads this 7 times, morning, evening, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will suffice him ma ahammahu, ma, whatever worries him, whether it is bin amri dunya wal akhirah, matters of this dunya or even of akhirah. A person who will read it 7 times, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will safeguard him from ham and huzn. Ham al-ghammul ladhi yudhibul insan. Ham and gham are two very similar words, synonyms. But hum is that gham, is that worry that totally melts a human being. That he can't think, he can't walk, he can't do anything, he doesn't want to do anything. Allah will save him from that. Allah give us that yaqeen on the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the most important. If a person has that yaqeen, then it will have that effect. So let us all read 7 times inshallah. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. May Allah save us. Hazrat gives a very beautiful example on this. Hazrat says that when Switzerland, famous for making watches, any other company in the world, they can make a watch which is waterproof. You put it 20 meters, 200 meters down in the water, and not a drop of water, even the vapor of water will not enter into that watch. When they can do that, then for Allah Ta'ala to make a heart that it can be in 2,000 problems around it, but Allah saves it from hum and gham, then not a drop of worry can enter that heart. That heart will be completely safe. So Allah Ta'ala, and the main thing which is required in all our amal, 2 things, ikhlas, sincerity. We should read it solely and only for Allah Ta'ala's pleasures. And the other is the tariqah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is very, very important. Without ikhlas, amal are not accepted. And if there is ikhlas, 100% ikhlas, but the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not there, then it is also not accepted. So that is also required that we should have that ikhlas also and the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us tawfiq to make amal on all the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is one of the reasons we come to the Khanqah, and mashallah, the wazaif have been given to all the various murids also, and we should be reading them. Our morning, evening du'as, all the other du'as also, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And to read them, not just passing by, but make them maqsood. Give it its time, its proper time, so that we can make we can read all those du'as. This ayat that was revealed, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. A Rasul has come to you from your own selves. That is from your own type of your human being. And Allah sent a Rasul also who is a Nabi, who is a human being. If Allah had sent a Rasul that was a jinn, or he was a farishta, an angel, then it was difficult to relate. A jinn is not like a human being, of course, and neither is an angel. An angel doesn't feel hungry, doesn't feel sad, doesn't feel happy as human beings feel. They are completely different. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, being a human being, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, announce and say that I am a human being like you, same bashar like you. But of course, there is a great difference between human and human. As we are all sitting here, we are all different from one another. For example that is given, that stones are all stones. They are stones. But a stone that is lying anywhere here, and a diamond is also called a stone. But what is the difference between ordinary stone and a diamond, that stone? A world of difference. You can't imagine it. So, أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, I'm a human being like you, but a bashar that is chosen by Allah, who is even fawqtar, more higher than the malaika also. As explained that Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam went there, where the greatest of the malaika, Jibreel Ali Salam, where he also said, if I have to go to one hair's breadth, length more further in front, I will be burned to ashes. There Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went. Where Ibrahim Alayhi Salatu Wasalam is in the great heights of Jannah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went past that also. So how great isn't our Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam? So though he's a human being like us, but we can't imagine and think that he's a human being like us. He was much, much more greater. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, of your own type, so he could relate to you. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ, he finds it very hard, whatever difficulties you come across. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam couldn't see. In fact, one dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam after eating, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَطْعَمَنَا وَسَقَانَا وَكَفَانَا وَآوَانَا فَكَمْ مِمَّنْ لَا كَافِيَ لَهُ وَلَا مُؤْوِيَ, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that after eating, Allah, shukr to you, Ya Allah, أَطْعَمَنَا وَسَقَانَا, you gave us to eat, to drink. And to eat and to drink is not only the food, it's even our body. How many people? Doctors say, though they have one person, one time we were invited by his house, and he had prepared wonderful meals, all quite a few of the people of the town he invited, and biryani and whatever else there was, lot of all delicious food. But he himself was on an oxygen tank. He was just taking oxygen. He forget the food, he couldn't drink a drop of water also. He was a rich man. He had, in those days, very long ago, he had two Mercedes at home, but nobody to drive it. And he had to beg his children just to give him a spin in one of the cars. So you might have everything in front of you, the material things. But if doctor said you're not allowed sugar, you're not allowed water. One patient passed away, one lady, Allah Ta'ala grant all Jannat, inshallah. She said that doctor stopped her from water and she should feel very, very thirsty, but not allowed to drink water. A simple commodity like that. So that Allah Ta'ala has given us this, our body, that we can still be eating, drinking, but sugar we make very little. We don't think of what namaz of Allah Ta'ala. There are so many people, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَعْطَانَا مِمَّا ابْتَلَاهُمْ بِهِ وَفَضَّلَنَا عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَبْدِيلًا. All praises due to Allah, who has kept us with afiyat, who has kept us. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, one of the greatest du'as which you should always be making is that Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyya wal-mu'afati da'ima fi d-dini wal-dunya wal-akhirah. The dua of afiyya, things must go nicely, smoothly. We don't know which moment, what can happen to who. Anytime, anything, young or old, healthy or unhealthy, anything can happen. And that Allah has kept us. And if we think our eating habits are so bad, our other habits, our behavior, our character is so bad, we deserve so much of Allah's punishment and the wrath of Allah. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, in His great kindness and mercy, He gives us still afiyat. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's afiyat is very, very great. We should be always asking. So ja'akum rasulun min anfusikum azizun alayhi ma'anittum. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam should find very hard all those things which you have difficulty in. Even dunya's things. And this part of the ayat refers to all of mankind. Not only to Muslims, to non-Muslims also. He didn't want to see the difficulty of any person. He couldn't see. His nature was such. Because of that, he worried of everyone. And of course, as the great Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, Allah grant me, grant us all tawfiq. The more greater thing we must worry of one another is about our akhirat than our dunya. Because dunya is, the akhirat is forever and ever. Dunya is temporary. And the severity of things, akhirat is much more severe compared to dunya. Dunya is nothing. We know that how many people have got so many problems, difficulties, hardships. But compared to the problems in the qabr, this is absolutely nothing. And the qabr, if we read, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, if you people knew what I know, you will stop burying your dead people. What the conditions are in the qabr are. So that is more severe than this. And Qiyamah day will be even more severe than the qabr. If people will say that they were like in a picnic when they were in that azab in the qabr. Man ba'asana min marqadina. Who woke us up from, we were having like a peaceful sleep compared to what things will be. And worse than that will be Jahannam, which will be then forever. And it's a reality. Nobody has even got the slightest hope that we're going to live forever. And we have to be very concerned about our iman. Normally we say our progeny. What's going to happen to our children? Really it's a time we ourselves. What the condition is of our iman. How much we are worried about akhirat. Normally also commonly we ask one another, we give duas. The common dua we give is, may Allah give you a long life. That is not sufficient. A long life, and if it is beset with all types of problems and difficulties, what's you a burden to yourself also, a burden to other people also. So Allah protect us. Oh, you got a long life, but it is filled with disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Then also, what's the condition of that person? That if you have got problems, yes, if you have a life, short or long, but in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, in preparation for akhirat, that is, but we seldom give that dua, that Allah gives you a life, and in the obedience of Allah, obedience and preparation for the akhirat. So that must be our greatest worry, the akhirat. But unfortunately, we don't give one another those duas also. We ourselves, we seldom make duas also. When is my time that I make dua? That I have, that I turn to Allah Ta'ala in earnestness and I ask Allah. We all should have some time that we turn to Allah Ta'ala. And then when we make dua, not only for dunya's things, for what this problem I got with my landlord, with my tenant, with my, with the receiver, with this person, that person, this court case, that court case, whatever it is, more we should be worried about our qabr and our akhirat. What will happen to us there? But who of us, we ask ourselves, that who of us we make dua for the qabr, for akhirat? Whoever of us have got that worry, that is the real worry. So that was what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was concerned about. Dunya also, and akhirat also. harisun alaykum, and had Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very desirous for your good. That all good must come to a person. Good in this dunya also. Good in the akhirat also. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, Allahu Akbar. One time there was like a big bang or a big noise in Medina Sharif. Everyone got worried and started to, now what is happening? By that time Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, single-handed, alone, went out on a horse and went through a whole of Medina and came back and told them there is nothing to worry. Everything is in order. Everything is safe. How he was worried about everyone. That nobody must have any difficulty whatsoever. So that is our Nabi, your Nabi. The Ash'ar that were recited, that were explained, mashallah, that is about our Nabi. That how great and how concerned our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was for us. Harisun alaykum and bil mu'minina raufur rahim. And with the believers, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was rauf and rahim. They also similar meanings. But in the word rauf, which comes first, is dafa' mazarrat. That is that no harm must come to them. That he was with the believers, particularly harisun alaykum, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very desirous upon you people, all Muslims and non-Muslims, and then particularly bil mu'minina raufur rahim. He was rauf also, and that is that he didn't want any harm to come to them. Rahimun, then jalbe manfaat, and all goodness must come to them. And first, dafa mazarrat is first before jalbe manfaat. So no harm must come. So Allah tabaraka ta'ala give us all tawfiq to understand the great position of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. For that, ulama have written that we should try and fulfill the rights of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And the rights of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are also unlimited. A few basic rights we will mention now, and let us see how we fare as far as fulfilling these rights of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The first right of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is that iman bil rasul. That we must have that convincing, complete iman on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. That he is, that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Muhammad who was the son of Abdullah, who was born in Makkah Sharif, and born in Makkah Sharif, that he is Muhammadur Rasulullah. He is Muhammad, the Rasul, and the Rasul, the messenger. And he is Abdullah, the slave of Allah. And that is nothing to feel shy about. That even Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and all righteous people, they don't feel shy in making ruku, in making sajda. That it isn't that we have been humiliated, that we have to put our head on the ground. They don't feel shy in lifting their hands in du'as, in asking of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because they are not shy to ask Allah tabaraka. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was that slave of Allah ta'ala, as we heard when he sat down to eat also, never at a table and chair, like big people, haughty people, but on the ground. And on the floor also, never like cross-legged. Allahu Akbar. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, like in how we sit in at-tahiyyat, or with one leg lifted up in that way, and without supporting himself. And he said, I'm just like a slave. Like we have workers that work, laborers, they eating time, they just take out their little bit food, they just eat it quickly, finish, and they carry on with their work. Not sitting down at a, when we have to sit down at for a meal, how long it takes to prepare that meal, from where and where all the ingredients come for that meal, and then to sit down, and then it's a 5-course, 7-course meal, how many course meal? That was not the way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So iman bil rasul, our full iman on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And that doesn't just say that amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa rusulihi, but it must prove in our actions also. that our actions must also be like that of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is the true da'wah of Islam. Islam did not spread with lectures and bayans. Islam spread with the lifestyle of the Sahaba, with the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that influenced the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Themselves, they used to say that we were people that we used to eat like dead animals also. Anything, any blood found somewhere, we would drink that blood also. We had like, Allah sent his Nabi to us. And what a life he taught us. He taught us we used to commit adultery, we used to drink wine, we used to do all the evil things. Allah sent a Nabi to us who taught us the right way. So that came into them. And from them, then Islam spread in the world. Islam spread in the world by the character and the life and the seerah of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So that is what is required of us also. When we say we were brought, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. When we say that, it means all that lifestyle must also come into us. So we have to have that complete iman on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and have that full trust on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is the first part of our iman, of the rights of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on us, that we have iman bi Rasul. And this iman must be such that it is coupled with muhabbat-e Rasul, with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And that also love should be so much. On one occasion, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, O Allah's Rasul, I love you more than the whole world, but not more than myself. A person, his own interest, they are first. Right? Like for example, if there's food and you are extremely hungry and somebody is very close to you, but you want to eat, you want to fill your stomach first. Forget share the food, forget giving that person a little, you want to eat everything because you are so hungry. But your nafs is there. It's such a thing that it prevents you from many, many other good and righteous things. So we have to be, a love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be more greater than what we love ourselves also. And in to translate it into our times, the way of life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his dressing, his way of eating, his way of sleeping, his way of ibadah, that must be more desirous to us than our own nafs also. But who of us? We give preference to our own nafs over all things. So this muhabbat-e Rasul. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that in that case your iman is still not complete. Tell Allah's Rasul's muhabbat is not more than our own nafs also, then our iman is still not complete. By the barakat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, his dua and his tawajjuh, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, now I love you more than what I love myself also. So that was what is necessary of a believer, to have that the amount of muhabbat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A beautiful example is explained of a buzurg who claimed and genuinely he really loved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and greatly he loved. Also, we can check ourselves how much sunnahs we are following, how much durood sharif we read. And when we do read durood, with how much of passion do we read? Even in our namaz when we read, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, do we really think of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Does that iman, does it come in our heart, or we just bypass it? We are reading it and we just bypassing. We don't understand the true meaning of it. So we should see how much. So anyway, this buzurg was what he saw in a dream, that he's in a horse and cart. He's sitting in the cart and there are four sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum sitting with him also. And in front is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And this horse and cart goes on a like a stony place downwards, and it's gone out of control. So somebody announced that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life is in danger. and bring the cart immediately to a stop. So he said, immediately I thought of getting some rocks, stones, putting it at the four wheels of the cart so that it can be it can stop. We say, I was still thinking about it, and the four Sahaba laid their bodies at the four wheels. Immediately they went. They did not think their own lives. This is loving the of Allah's Nabi more than our own nafs also. He says, at that time I realized that the love the Sahaba had for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, forget an iota, I can't even think about it. And so we are far. We are not the Sahaba. We are far, far from them. But at least, how much do I love my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How much do I give preference to his lifestyle over the lifestyle of the kuffar? Today, unfortunately, we have become those people that we not only live the life of the kuffar, we promote it also. Whether it is for our children, the clothes that we buy for our children. Is it clothes which are Islamic? Or is it clothes that are of the kuffar? How many times even with murats, with photos and pictures, which are completely haram. Today people regard photography as permissible, but whereas it is generally accepted. Allahu Akbar. Just not so long ago, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Ahmed Khanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was having Darse Hadith, and in that Khatam of Bukhari Sharif also, and the permission of the awail of the hadith kitabs. But in there he announced, any person who will take photos, then my permission is not for that person. And it will be there, it's not a matter of so many people who have come here, by thousands the people. You can't control from where, who is taking a photo. Today it has become, to do guna has become so easy. Before to take a photo you needed a camera. And then you needed a film, and then you all the many things that were compared today on your cell phone. It's so easy. You just quickly take a photo, and nobody even knows that you are taking a photo. The way it is made, it is that nobody even knows that you are taking a photo. So he announced that anyone who takes a photo, no permission for such a person. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, same way the principle of Darul Uloom Dioban. He was also doing the Khatam of Bukhari Sharif and also the Awail of Hadith, that is giving permission to the students for reading the various Ahadith kitabs. And he also announced that there is no permission for anyone who takes photos, etc. So today that also has become common. So how much of muhabbat have we got when we are going directly against? And for us many times, Qurbani, In the month of Ramadan, Zul Hijjah, Qurbani, what a great ibadat. And Qurbani, we all know, means sacrifice. But there also, we are mixing man and woman at home, wherever we are making the Qurbani, mahram, non-mahram, we are mixing, or we go to the farms, or on Eid days, both day, Eid day, we are having meals all sitting together, and all brothers-in-law, sisters-in-law, all sitting together. Whereas in the Hadith Sharif, the brother-in-law, especially the younger brother-in-law, is referred to as mort. So much parda, how you will fear, you fall, fear mort, you must stay away, the brother-in-law from his sister-in-law. But today it is common, we mix with, and worse than that is, we shake hands with one another. Worse than that is, we embrace also. And kiss on the cheeks also, on the forehead, etc. These are all very, very, very dangerous matters, but which has become common with us. And we don't think about when we're going to leave this world, what the repercussions. And in this world, may Allah protect us all. But due to our wrongdoings, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah Ta'ala sometimes gives it some punishment here, which is also a mercy of Allah. So that we can, as we heard in the kitab reading, mashallah, how Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali treated our Shaykh. And that was all. It wasn't severity. It wasn't hardness. But it was muhabbat. It was in order to training. And Hazrat shares one beautiful in his Ash'ar. He says the when the Shaykh becomes strict and hard, don't take it as sitam, as a, like somebody swearing you, somebody being upset with you. But it is the love of the Shaykh when he tells his murid that correct yourself. It was also in the kitab reading it comes, Hazrat Muhammad Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali said, it's a duty of the Shaykh when he sees anything wrong to correct it. And if he doesn't correct it, then he's a khain. He's a person who is not fulfilling his duties. What he's supposed to do, he's not doing that. Forget being a Shaykh, he's not a, far from being a Shaykh. But today, and also we have been taught, أَنْزِلُ النَّاسِ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. Treat people according to their level. And then, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali explained so beautifully. He says that there are today many Muslims who are not making namaz. Many who are making only Eid, only Jummah, or for whatever. So he says, whatever level you find them in, don't push them down further. That you're only making Eid namaz, what kind of a Muslim are you? Or you're only making Jummah, just tell him, encourage him, MashaAllah, you are making Jummah, you are making Eid, try and make every day five times namaz. So where they are, a person who is crawling, a person who has fallen down, don't push him down further, pick him up, let him come up in life. So we should try and bring people onto the right path with hikmat. And hikmat doesn't mean to conceal the truth. Today many times also we take a hikmat that to conceal the truth, to pacify people on their wrong also. Now hikmat, it doesn't mean that. Hikmat means how to bring them onto the right path. So Allah Ta'ala grant us the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And that must be coupled with the azmat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Just the love alone is not enough. Today a person loves his cell phone, but for example, he's not allowed to keep a cell phone. His mother came and quickly he throws it under the pillow or anywhere else. If with the Quran Sharif, we can't, with Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, we can't, it's like sort of throw him away. Now, if somebody talks anything, that azmat, that greatness, how what something that you hold very dear, and not only dear, but respectful. Very, the respects of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That must be also filled in the heart. That when we ever, all the sunnahs in our dressing, our day to day, we shouldn't shy away from people, from making the miswak, for example. Some people, we feel shy to practice on a sunnah. Allahu Akbar. To sit on the floor and eat. One time there was a gathering of many people, learned people, pious people. And they had arranged the meal like a barbecue. Like you go, everyone goes and takes from the table, takes his food, and then he comes and he sits on his chair and he eats. So there were other people who were concerned also. So they saw that here is a problem here. We're going to eat like this. How can these great, great ulama, scholars, etc., for them to sit at the table and to, which Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali say, that kind of eating, which is common with us, all our brides, etc., the food is there, you go to the table, you pick up what you want to, you come down, you sit on a chair and you eat. He says, ye to janwaro ka charna hai. Like animals, how they graze. They go here, they take a little, they go there, they take a little. That is like that. But that is so common amongst us. Whereas it should be that the food comes to you and you sitting down and you are being served with the food. And then you eat it also with that respect in mind. So Allah Ta'ala give us that. So that azmat of Nabi, azmat of every sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that must be also very much entrenched in our hearts. And then comes another very great right of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, which is the ittiba. Ittiba, to follow in the lifestyle of Nabi. That is the right of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we follow in his lifestyle. And that is our outward sunnahs make shukr. That today, alhamdulillah, there are so many people with kurtas, so many people with beards, women in their burqas, etc. The amama, topi, all these things has become common. But there are still many, many more sunnahs. And we should never be content. Whatever level we have got of sunnah, never be content with it. But rather be a talib, a person who is a seeker, that more I must get sunnahs in my life, knowledge of sunnahs, and then to practice on the sunnahs, and then to promote it and tell other people about it. So the ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that is also a salient feature and the right of Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam upon us. He came to us, Allah ta'ala sent Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, لَقَدْ جَاكُمْ, that he is a model for you. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. I have sent you an uswa hasana, a beautiful model, an example I have sent to you. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came as a perfect model, an example to us. So we should take it like that. I've got this model in front of mine, of me, and I must follow this lifestyle. Today we follow all other people. As far as our education is concerned, the knowledge of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahu Akbar. One person in Gaza, who is in a tent where it is so hot, but he's got all his kitabs and studying all the kitabs there, and he's teaching there in that condition. And he says, I know that I'll be perhaps a martyr by the next hour or by the night, but that is what gives them solace, to study the kitabs and to the teaching of deen, and they're looking forward to martyrdom. Today we are frightened. We run from the word shaheed, shahadat, we are frightened for it. So Allah tabarak ta'ala, and let us follow the sunnahs, every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Put it, fill our hearts with all those sunnahs. So in the education system today, which alhamdulillah, there are quite a few ulama all over the globe, all over the world, who are concerned because this education system, it's not only everyone thinks in my country is like this. In my country, the laws are very hard. Compulsory education till the age of 16, etc. But it's a whole global thing. The whole world, everywhere is the same. So, and every school, government school, private school, and our private schools, whether it's an Islamic school, a Muslim school, anyone, where Darwin's theory of evolution is being taught, and where the children, it's almost a compulsory question in the exam paper. And many people, when you speak to them, they say, we explain to the students the harms. But when an evil thought is introduced in the mind, the mind starts working. You start thinking, Allah created Adam alayhi salam. Allah created Hawa alayhi salam perfectly. خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ. But with my own hands, that is with particular care of all the other commandments, other creation of Allah. Allah said, kun fayakun, be, and it was. But Adam alayhi salam, Allah said, khalaqtu bi yadayya, with my own hands, that is, with great care Allah made. So Adam alayhi salam came as a perfect human being. And his wife Hawa, she came with him as perfect, complete human beings. And they came in this world. And this whole evolution story, and so some people say we explain to the students the wrongs of it. But that is for now. In other countries, the teacher is under surveillance, under the camera, and he's not allowed to give any answer to those things. And it's just a matter of time when it will happen everywhere else in the world also. And then after that, in any case, when that has been brought in your mind is going to work on it. You are going to think about it. And today, generally, the whole ummah is quiet about this. What is happening, all of us have got children. And our children are going to these schools. And the only answer is homeschooling. And where the basics of deen, and in the schooling also, that is also one particular philosophy, which is their religion, which they are teaching, that man was born in the cock, how they explain. So if they leave that out and stick to the basics of education, then there is no problem for anyone. If they just the basics of education, then there is no problem. But preference at all times will be given to Islamic education. So Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that the azmat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the itaat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then comes the right of the fikr of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What worry did he have? Day and night, he couldn't rest. And how he went, the Jewish boy, who small young boy, who was about to die, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam went and visited him and presented. So he looked at his father. His father said, follow, Ata Abul Qasim. Follow what Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. He read Kalima. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was so happy that by my barakat, I went there and he got saved. How Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam presented Kalima to Abu Talib on his deathbed. And what did he say? That I prefer Nar alal Ar. That my family people, the town people, the people of the world mustn't speak bad about me. I prefer to go in the fire of Jahannam. How sad. And today we will do wrong things to please the family people, to please other people. We don't worry about our iman and we please people. Today our iman, we have to consider very, very, very big concern. What is my iman like? Iman is not just the words that we are saying, but it is a reality. A reality more than words, more than actions. The conviction of the heart. A complete conviction in the heart must be there. So we should also have that fikr. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, day and night, kana daimul huzn. Always he was concerned, worried about the people, about akhirat. How much are we worried about ourselves, about our family people, about our town people? Very seldom we have any concern about that. So that is also one very, very important aspect. The itaat-e Rasul, fikr-e Rasul, and then zikr-e Rasul, to remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the remembrance of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is by reading Durood Sharif. Each one of us, we can see how many Durood Sharif do we read. And with what passion and feeling do we read Durood Sharif. And with that, the du'as which Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam taught us. Du'as, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, if you forget to read Bismillah at the beginning of your meals, then read when you remember Bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu. But we, from the beginning to the end, we don't remember Bismillah. And we don't remember Bismillah awwaluhu wa akhiruhu. And all that, if you don't read Bismillah, Shaitan becomes a partner to that meal. And then we are strengthening our enemy. Those people who strengthen the enemy, what's the condition of those people? So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of that we should... The Durood Sharif, the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnats of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after zikr-e Rasul, ziyarat-e Rasul, to go and visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even we can be here, but we are reading Durood and we read as though we are sitting at Rauza-e Mubarak. And that is the best way. Then with adab and respect we will be reading. These are just a few basic rites of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. His rights are much, much more. Allah give us tawfiq. And the main thing is to be concerned of our iman, the iman of the ummah today, and not to make anyone lose hope at the same time. And don't let anyone lose hope that we all, Allah's mercy is very, very great. So never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, and also never stop making tawbah and istighfar. Because those are doors which Allah has left open, by which Allah forgives gunas. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi said, even the kuffar, when they make tawbah, istighfar, it will help them in this dunya, but in akhirat it won't help. So alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with iman. Let the reality of iman be in us. And together with that, we'll keep on making tawbah, istighfar also. And today, to preference, to family ties, to family people, we give more than what we give to the deen and to what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. So Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq and strengthen our iman. Safeguard us from kufr and shirk. And Allah take us with iman in His mercy and His kindness. May He take us into His mercy and kindness, inshallah, in the qabr. and we have a peaceful life in the qabr on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah make it that we are amongst those people, Ashabi Yameen, those people whom Allah's favors fall upon. And then we go to Yameen, we go to on the right side towards Jannah. And Allah save us, our family, our progeny, our children from Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala protect the Ummah, inshallah.